Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
We honor your service.
God be all praised.
Amen.
Please stay standing, because I don't consider myself the guest speaker here today. He's the Lord of lords, King of kings, Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, everlasting, everlasting. Yeshua HaMashiach, his name is Jesus of Nazareth, and he is here. God says what he means, and he means what he says. We're gathered in his name. We've offered praise. He is here in a tangible way. So, Lord Jesus, you be exalted, be magnified, be glorified. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about us. You be honored. And we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat, please. I'm going to do a quick commercial before we get started. We've got some books here on the table over here to the side. I've got 8 Christian books in print. I'll do this because this is an extension of ministry. I can give you stories anyway. We won't do that. But these 2 books, actually lessons from Bible characters, easy lessons for living. When you take the Word of God and you put it into your heart and become a doer of the Word, you become a wise man, a wise woman. If you don't, then you can stay ignorant and do foolish things. But the Word of God always stands for itself. And some people use this as devotionals. I actually gave each of these books to President Hamid Karzai in Kabul, Afghanistan in 2005. He told me he would read them. He's had plenty of time. But he's a very articulate man, too, by the way. Knows English quite well. Anyway, those 2 books are in Spanish as well. If you have any Spanish-speaking friends, you can put it in their hands. My newest book, Pushing Against Darkness, editorials on morality and ethics, Christianity, Islam, nature, political affairs, news media, globalism policies, national cover-ups, military, United Nations, Israel, and miscellaneous commentaries. If you are politically correct, don't get this book. You won't like it. But truth is absolute. It always proves its course, and it will at least generate some things for you to consider if you haven't considered some things in reference to our current world. God's Word, bulletproof. Prophetic fulfillment, archaeological evidence, science, and common sense reasoning prove the Bible. I wanted to target people that had the question, is God real? Is Jesus who he said he was? I want them to read a layman's version, not a detailed, you know, Haley's Handbook of the Bible, something easy to read, put it in their hands, and come to the right conclusion. I personalize it with a lot of my travels in the Middle East, so make a personalization. And when you look at it, you see what I'm talking about. It covers a lot of different things. The evidence that God is real, that Jesus was the Messiah, is overwhelming. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in God and believe in Jesus. Jesus is who he said he was. You can believe me now, you can believe me later, but you will believe me because every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So it's easy for reading, stand up for God, biblical principles learned in a military career. If you have anybody in the military, a friend, a nephew, a niece, somebody who is a Christian trying to live for God, excellent book to put in their hands. Biblical principles learned in a military career has a Navy SEAL trident on it. Supernatural testimonies, people in dire situations. Didn't know which way to turn, but they found out Jesus was not a way, the way. Just amazing stories in here. Testimonies of ex-Muslims. These were Muslims that became Christians, and I'll tell you reasons why. Jesus is moving in the Middle East with dreams and visions to many Muslims today. You know, he has a heart for all people. I'm not a Calvinist. So praise you, Jesus. And I got the one other book here that I want to highlight to you, and that is Walking with God, a Daily Devotional. You won't find many books like this in a Christian bookstore, but when you look at it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Sermon for each day of the year in about 8 stanzas, poetic or prose format. And so when you look at that, again, you'll see what I'm talking about. I've got 2 pieces of paper for your taking. These, you know, they're written on the table for what these are, but these 2 sheets, feel free to take one. One is a watchman's decree. It's very important we pray for our nation right now. The other one is Declaration of Dependence on God. I was in Lodi, California, 3 July last year. I incorporated this, had it put on the screen. I had the congregation pray this. Independence Day. How about dependence on God? And so when you look at that, you can, if you want to pray that, feel free to. And this you can take home, and daily you can lift up these prayers for our nation. And I like this flag. Pastor Kevin, an appeal to heaven. So let's come in corporate prayer for our nation right now, since we're talking about our nation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up the United States of America. We say, dear God, because we've got dominion, we have authority, and we say the devil will not have this nation, and the church is arising. The gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we pray, dear God, for what you wanted for America from the beginning, the destiny you had for this nation, a nation that would go forth and take the Bible to the far reaches of the earth, that would send missionaries to different locations throughout the planet. Dear God, we're thanking you for what you're doing in America. And we're saying, no, Mr. Devil, you're not going to have this land. Sit down. No, you will not take America. We pray for God's will and purpose to be accomplished. We call forth God's destiny for this nation, and we say for America, we decree you turn in the name of Jesus. Return unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit, for a great awakening to come. And we're asking you, dear God, change this nation, because this nation needs you, dear God. Remember what those in the Mayflower Compact prayed. You know, that this land was for advancement of the gospel. Robert Hunt at Cape Henry, 1607. Remember what he prayed when he put that cross at Cape Henry on the sands of Fort Story. That this land would go forth and the gospel would be spread in this land and to the far reaches of the earth. We're thanking you, dear God, for remembering these prayers. Prayers don't go old. They stay with us. So we're thanking you as we synergize our prayers with their prayers. And we're saying, America, fulfill your destiny. And God, it is not over. And there's a remnant praying and interceding. And we know, Jesus, you're here. And we're appealing to you as we appeal to heaven. As Mr. Washington put that flag with different units and said, when you don't know what else to do, appeal to heaven, because we know America needs divine intervention. And we pray in corporate agreement, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. So those two are over there on the table. We can look at those. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In reference to my background, I did 22 years in the Navy, SEAL Team 3, SEAL Team 5, SEAL Team 2, other special warfare commands. I have lived for certain periods of time in Egypt, Jordan, Israel, Panama, South Korea, Liberia, Sudan, Somalia, Sinai, Afghanistan, besides serving in numerous other countries in the world, done a lot of exciting things, parachuting, diving, demolitions, did a lot of exciting things, but the most important thing, the most exciting thing I did was I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it has not changed. It has not changed. He's a living God. He's not the statue on the lawn. He's not, some pie-in-the-sky figure. He's not some picture on the wall. He's the living God. He's reality. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here today. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Alex, when you're up here, I just see the word. I see the word faithful on your front like a banner. It's like you got a banner. And on the back, as you're stepping down, there's another word on the back, steadfast. God takes notice. You've been faithful. You're steadfast. And God sees that. I also perceive you've got an anointing of a psalmist, like David had that anointing when he played the harp. And praise God for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sherry, I don't know if this pertains, but I'm just going to say, just share. When I'm looking over toward you, I see you with some balloons. Sometimes, God, anything on my heart? Just, yeah. But I saw you with some balloons. You were like in a valley, but those balloons started to rise, and you came to higher ground. And Jesus will bring you to higher ground. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Where's Emily? She's back with the kids. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Share this with Emily later. Yeah, please do. Please do. Pastor Kevin. Hey, I'm just going to... Okay? Okay? Okay. I saw you before you were even put into your body. In the sense of your spirit. You're up in heaven. God is at the throne. He's got spirits. And anytime you're born again, when anytime you, the real you is your spirit. God takes the spirit, puts it in a body. And you have your mind, your soul, your intellect, your emotions, your will. You're a three-part being. When you're born again, your spirit gets born unto God. That's where you're saved. But your mind has grown in the ways of the world. So you're taught to think like the world, and you function in the world. And so when you renew your mind, you got to get the Word of God in there and start thinking like God thinks, and you're in a body. But I, in spiritual form, the real you. So when I see the real you is your spirits. That's the real you. God is the spirit. So the real you is your spirit. But God has different spirits, and he takes these little spirits and puts them in bodies at conception. Life starts in the womb. Okay? Mr. Politician, listen to that. Read the Bible. Praise you, Jesus. God takes priority. You may not see it now, but you will see in eternity. But in reference to these spirits around, and he took your spirit. And God, okay, he went to the Xerox room. He took an impression of his heart, and he put it in your spirit and put it you down here. And part of that was he was impressing upon you one of the important things to his heart, and that was souls for his kingdom. In reference to this, I'm digressing. Usually I often share this toward the end. When I get to the end of my message, I'll share this because it is important to God. Howard Pittman, 3 August 1979, he was on the back of his back when he was flying. He was on the floor, on the ground. Howard was a Christian. I want you to get a revelation of that. Howard was a Christian. And he thought he was living for God all right. He thought he was living for God all right, but Howard didn't get something here. His spirit left his body. He's standing outside heaven's gates, and God says, Howard, watch. I want you to watch what's happening during this particular period of time. Howard saw 50 people that died on planet Earth during this particular period of time go through heaven's gates. And he didn't get the whole story, so God conveyed to Howard. He said, Howard, what you don't understand is another 1,950 people died on planet Earth during that time, Howard. Where did they go, Howard? They went to hell, Howard. 2.5% went through heaven's gates. Howard came back. He became fervent. He became dedicated. He became committed. No longer would Howard be lukewarm. No. He understood part of the Father's heart, and that was souls for his kingdom. And he impressed that on your heart before you were even born. Praise you, Jesus. I see Emily's back with us. Okay, I'm just going to convey the I saw a solar system around you. A solar system. And I saw you as planet Earth. Now, as planet Earth is rotating, it's like different seasons. Different seasons happen. But as it's rotating, as we see the tilting of the Earth, the sun started to shine. Not talking about S-U-N, I'm talking about S-O-N. And in S-O-N, the sun is shining, you're tilting like the tulips. They grow fresh and they bloom. And God sees that. As coming through seasons, you still seek the face of God. You seek his rays and he shines on you and he smiles brightly as that budding becomes a bloom. Praise you, Jesus. I just leave it at that. I don't want to expound. What I got. You can run with it as God moves on it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we get into the Word here today, I'm asking you, dear God, to have right away. It's not about me. It's about you. I'm asking you to speak through me, dear God. Help me to share what you want me to share and help us to receive what you want us to receive, Jesus. May you be exalted. Amen. During this COVID time, one of the things that really impressed upon me was this. It's in reference to who we are. In Revelation 1:6, it says we've been made kings and priests. This is still not part of my message yet, but I want to impress upon you this point. And I do this typically before I even start services now, because I see how the culture has affected the church, and the church is supposed to affect the culture. We've got it reversed. God had made us to dominate. He's made us for dominion. And by the way, Pastor Kevin, I'm looking out here right now. I'm seeing cardboard figures in these pews. There's more people coming. Amen. You just be steadfast. Don't go by appearances. There's a coming. As God moves, some of these people are going to find God moves on their hearts. I believe that. I'm perceiving that. And I just speak it. I speak life in the name of Jesus. These pews are open for more people. Thank you, Jesus. But in Revelation 1:6, it says we've been made kings and priests. What can I do as a priest? As a priest, I can intercede for you. I can pray for your healing. I can go to the throne of God and ask God, you know, I agree for this healing. I agree for a new job for this person. I agree that you're going to help this person in marriage. Whatever I'm interceding for. But what do I do as a king? I've been made a king now. Yeah. Not later now. A king has dominion. He executes dominion. He influences. He says things happen. And the church needs to have that mentality. Yeah. We're not to be pushed into the corner. This is not the time. No, no, no. America, many people want to push you into a corner as a Christian. Well, you can say God, but you say Jesus, you're a fanatic. Well, a fanatic is somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. Yeah. Now, not getting flaky. That being said, we need to understand we can have a room with 100 people, 99 unbelievers, and you're the only Christian that comes in there. Society wants to push you aside, make you almost feel ashamed that you believe in Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. You know, and I go to men's meetings too. Like, they want to push men in the corner too. I got an idea for it. You want to see a man of God? David could take your head off in 2 seconds and then pray to God with all his might and dance before God. Amen. That's a man's man. Amen. You want to be a man's man? You get right with God and you follow God. Amen. In light of eternity, you'll see why I say that. Praise you, Jesus. But we've been made kings and dominion. We're to influence. We're to influence this culture. We're to take God and wherever we go, not with wisdom, use prudence, but we're to execute dominion. And God said, occupy till I come. Some Christians want to get out of here. Well, let me tell you something. God said, occupy till I come. As a military term, that means to control that area. I dominate. I influence. I am his ambassador. And as an ambassador, I represent his kingdom the same way we send an ambassador to another foreign country representing this nation. I represent the kingdom of God, and these things will be. I see the evil. I come against it. I represent his kingdom, and I will shine for Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, religion prepares man to leave the earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate. Religion focuses in on heaven. The kingdom focuses in on earth. And we have some good songs when we all get to heaven. What a wonderful day that will be. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Wonderful songs. But God wants us to take heaven and take it out. He wants to execute his dominion and spread it. No, 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 no. I'm sorry, there's no separation of church and state in the Constitution. Sit down, Mr. Politician. I belong to the kingdom. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not trying to get flaky on you, but I'm trying to be real. Praise you, Jesus. My sermon title is, if we can put it on there, Dave. Thank you, Jesus. We got it. Can I see it? Where do I see it? Okay, I look over here. All right. I'm reminded of the story that Max Lucado tells in one of his books. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. Patchy fog made for poor visibility. The captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The captain called out. The lookout replied, steady, captain. That meant the ship was on a collision course with the other vessel. The captain called to the signalman, signal that ship. We're on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Moments later, a signal came back. Advise you change course 20 degrees. This irritated the captain, and he ordered, send, I'm a captain, change course 20 degrees. Again, a reply quickly came back, I'm a seaman second class, you better change course 20 degrees. Well, by this time, the captain was furious. He spat out, sin, I'm a battleship, change course 20 degrees. Back came the flashing light, I'm a lighthouse, you change course. You see, lighthouses don't move for battleships. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and Jesus is Lord, he's our lighthouse, we move for him. Praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. I want to give you another illustration in reference to that. I think of the words A.W. Tozer. They're very interesting. He stated that people who are crucified with Christ have three distinct marks. Three distinct marks. He said, number one, they are facing only one direction. I follow your direction, Lord. They can never turn back, and they no longer have plans of their own. Praise that. Praise you, Jesus. That's Selah. Think about that. Per Andrew Murray, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him, only believe. The first scripture I have up is Romans 14, 9, 8 through 9. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. We die unto the Lord, we are the Lord's, we live unto the Lord. Strong words, but they're in Scripture. Jesus and the Word are one. So this is Jesus speaking to us, me included. I'm speaking to myself. Praise God. So what does it mean to surrender? Well, first, surrender our past. And then put always behind, all things becoming new. Anybody here living in your past, don't. Put it under the blood. Because if you live in your past, you forfeit your future. And God's got better things to do. The devil wants you to keep meditating on things 20, 30, 40 years ago. And if he can keep you in that arena, he'll pound you, you know, with his verbiage to bring you down. Because he don't want you to move forward in God. No, he don't want you to advance in God's kingdom. God's got it under the blood. He don't even remember it. What are you talking about? But the devil will remind you and try to keep you in the arena of thought. Between your two ears is your battleground. Let the bird fly by. Don't let him nest. Tell him to keep on moving. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Translation, before I know I sin, now I do not practice sin. It stops. I'm now to live unto God and for God. I know when I came to the Lord, when I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Open Door Chapel, I was in the military, and I came to the Lord, and I realized when I went to the command, people started to see changes. And if you come to the Lord and you're sincere, the Holy Spirit will work on your heart to change. Praise you, Jesus. 1 John 1, 9, and this was written to Christians, folks. This is not written to unchristians. If you look in the context of it, it's for Christians. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So unforgiveness, not walking in love, walking outside of the Word, not believing in faith, but walking in doubt, fear, unbelief. These kind of things can impede your prayer life, can impede your walk with God when you sin. So what you do is get right with God, confess it, and get right back with God. Don't run from Him. Yes. Confess and get right, and God don't remember it. A repentant life actually should be standard for us. Anytime you miss it, run to God and get cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Second, present our body unto God and renew our mind. That's the soulish realm, because when your spirit is reborn, it's already unto God. Matter of fact, demonic spirits can oppress the body, can oppress your soulish realm, but they won't get in your spirit if you're born again unto God. My point is this. Before we thought like the world and lived unto the world, and now we renew our thoughts with God's word and live unto God. And Romans 12, 1 through 2 backs this up. Next verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you've got to now read the Word. You've got to meditate on the Word, spend time in prayer, developing your relationship with Jesus, renewing your mind to think as God thinks versus the way you used to think in the world. Praise you, Jesus. And it says that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it reads, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Ye are not your own. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise you, Jesus. John 3, 30, the next verse. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist knew that. Amen. We need to know it too. Yes, sir. We should be reading our Bibles daily. This is the point. spending time in prayer and communing with God on a regular basis. This should be, as the military would say, standard operating procedure. This should be just standard stuff. Someone shouldn't have to be reminded of that, but if you need to be, then adhere. A Bible up in the shelf that doesn't get down and looked at is just that, collecting dust. What good is it? You got to get the word into your heart. Praise you, Jesus. God's greatest desire for us is to have an intimate relationship with Him. His greatest desire for each and every one in here is to have an intimate relationship with Him. God loves us so much. He wants that fellowship. That's why we were created. Whew. Somebody might say in the back row, hey, Cadillac, I want a Cadillac. No, no, no. His greatest desire is an intimate relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Third, seek the will of God and surrender to it. Praise you, Jesus. So surrendering to His will and purposes. I'm going to mention Matthew 16:24, the next verse. It says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a pretty strong word. And follow me. Surrender is straightforward. Something not often talked about. But it's straightforward. Simply put, do the next thing He tells you to do. Obedience. We hear that word. That means we are to do what He tells us to do. In Luke 6:46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You call me Lord, but you're not doing what I say. If I'm your Lord, I'm supposed to do what you say. Or what He wants us to do. As you follow what you think is best in any area or plan in your life, let peace always be your umpire. That's from your spirit, because that's where God's going to communicate mostly to us, His inner spirit. In Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all their inward parts of the belly. God communicates to us through our spirit. Through our spirit. That little nudge, that little small voice, or a little feeling, you just know you're supposed to do something. Praise you, Jesus. And let us do it with willing service. We should serve Him with a willing heart, not grudgingly, but with a willing heart. What He's done for us, we can't fathom until eternity, folks. He's got a show He's going to put on that's going to knock our socks off. Oh, no. Steven Spielberg, you got nothing on God. No, no. God always has our best at heart, always. And this is what I want to remind us. This keeps your theology right. There's nothing bad in God. There's nothing good in the devil. Don't confuse the two. You keep your theology right. God's a good God, and He only wants the best for you. Only wants the best for you. If He has you doing something, remember, it's in your best interest. You follow His guidance. So many times people have ignored, and they've gotten their own way, and then they found out they ended up in the briar patch. God will help us. So this is something to consider, though. Why don't we surrender? Why, God? Maybe you can think of some other points. I've got some to highlight. We simply don't want to submit. Pride is a stubborn thing, isn't it? We don't like giving up control. Selfishness, pride, and stubbornness can influence us here because of the flesh. But because we've been reading our Bible, because we've been communing with God and in prayer with God, we're sensitive to His Spirit and realize that pride, if you have pride, God will resist you. And let me tell you something. Anytime you're ever offended, pride is where you need to point. It's your pride. Pride and offense will divide churches. It's the devil's playground. And a man of God will resist pride and walk humbly before God, because that's His word. And it will get people into trouble. And pride has destroyed churches. And pride has destroyed lives. And any time you say, thus saith the Lord, you better make sure you heard from God. Go. Thus saith the Lord. You better know you have your ducks in order. Yes, I'm very careful to say that. That's why sometimes I might say, I perceive, Sherry, what I share with you. Okay? You use the Lord and guidance, you better make sure you have your ducks in a row. Oh, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He hung millions of stars on nothing. He's an awesome God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we simply don't want to submit. We're also, another point, we're afraid of what God might ask us to do. Meaning it could be something we don't want to do or think we can do. Oh, God, I really don't want to go down and talk to that neighbor. 10 years ago, that neighbor did that to me, and you know I just don't want to do it. You're putting it on my heart to go talk to him and reconcile. God, I just don't want to do it. God knows best. We're in bondage to a sinful habit, and Satan is working hard to keep us in it. God, I just don't want to give that up. And the devil's over there. No, you don't want to give it up. It feels good to your flesh. You know, that's you thinking. That's not God. We simply don't trust God. Maybe we think we know better in our thinking, or that God won't come through because we've been hurt in the past. A lot of men have a hard time relating in some cases, and maybe women too, because they had an abusive father. And they equate Father God with the abusive father they had. But they had a defective parent. God's not defective. And God loves. But it's hard for them to break through until they're healed from that wounds they had earlier in their life. Praise you, Jesus. Another thing is, it's just too hard, or we just don't know how. Another thing is, we're unaware of the rewards that await us. God might ask you to do something, and you don't see the big picture. He does, and you're just channeled vision. Or we're unaware of what's at stake. You remember that neighbor I just referred to? I want you to go share with that neighbor, and you rejected going to that neighbor. Next week, that neighbor is in eternity because that neighbor got in an accident at the intersection and is dead. But I had you to go. You didn't see what I had in store because they were ready to receive if somebody would have taken the message with love and humbled themselves and put pride aside. No, that person's in eternity. Guess where they're at? And you were not obedient. You were not aware of the stakes. Praise you, Jesus. Thus, we have to establish a mindset. Prior military, I take this in that context, so I incorporated a comment about the military. Soldiers are conditioned to follow orders. It becomes a way of life. Higher authority directs, one complies. Sometimes you may not personally agree with a directive, but you carry it out. If you don't carry it out or carry out the orders, then negative consequences can ensue, and this can happen in the spiritual realm. One was the example I just shared with you. You have to have a mindset. You're part of God's army. If you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, in reference to spiritual warfare, there's a war going on. You're part of it. That's right. Welcome to planet Earth. You were born into it. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light that are at odds with each other. There's spiritual warfare that takes place, and you're participating whether you believe it or not, whether you're saved or not. And if you're not saved, the devil's already winning your soul to take you to hell. Unless you change course. So we're part of God's army. And that's the true believers love Jesus Christ. And they follow him as their Lord. He is the Lord of their lives. That means he is in control in their lives. And they are his disciples, devoted to his will, cause, and purpose. And this should be our mindset. As we know God's will and what he wants. It's the most important thing in our lives. Our first priority. When I married my wife, I said, Paulette, God first, you second. For me, God first for you, then me second. God takes priority. Always. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. And this should be our mindset. Consideration of lordship. He is our commander-in-chief in a military perspective. When the lordship of Jesus is settled in a Christian's life, all other issues are settled. Serving God, witnessing, stewardship of time and assets, and faithfulness are great subjects. But until the lordship is settled, then these areas commonly will not be fully developed in one's life. It has been said, unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. This is a challenge for all Christians to bring in all areas of our lives under the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ in our lives. There should be no rivalry for his throne. He takes priority. And for Jesus to be Lord in your life means that he is the ruler of your whole life. In essence, he must be given control of the entire life, the whole life. I'm speaking strong. I'm speaking to the point. In essence, this is reality. One who is surrendered and will pursue righteousness. One who is surrendered will pursue or persevere in righteousness. Matthew 10:22. That should be the next scripture. Did I miss that? Did I miss the candle of the Lord? The candle of the Lord. Let's go back one. Did I miss that scripture? Okay. Yeah, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. Search your inner parts of the belly. We had that one already. Okay, the next verse, please. Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Believe me. Even if you lived here to be 110 years old, you know, or whatever it is, that's a short time, a grain of sand from all the beaches of the world in reference to eternity. Eternity is a long time. You can't understand it now, but in eternity you will from your spirit because we're still living in the world. Your flesh has a hard time understanding that concept. But, wow. I will say it. There's people living on this earth last week. They're in hell right now. They didn't have a concept of eternity, but now they do. Too late. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. One who surrenders will seek to please the Lord. Philippians 2:13, the next verse. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's a good God. Remember that. Whatever he asks you to do is always in your best interest. He always has your best interest at heart, always. One who surrendered unto the Lord seeks to be a doer of the word. I just want to tie this in separately because we have people that have a hard time getting through in life. But in reference to Luke 6:47-49, next verse. All right, it's on the screen. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Well, you say, you know, Jesus is the rock. Yeah, that's true. But that verse is telling you a lot more. I've got two Christians. Christian number one. I've got Christian number two. They both are saved. And they both have similar trials and temptations in life. This Christian seems to keep going by and getting the victory. They maintain their attitude of faith. They're going through. They get the victory. This Christian over here seems to constantly need assistance. Falling down. Seems to have defeat after defeat. Just can't get by. What's the difference? They're both saved. What's the difference? This one is a doer of the word. This one is not. It's simply put. You've got to do God's word and not just hear only and let it go out the other ear. That's the rock of his word. And Jesus and the word are one. You're on Jesus, but you've got to do his word. That means the promises. Stand on them. They get the victory. Jesus and the word are one. And thus, we do what the Bible says. But we also, another avenue to this is to be sensitive to the inner leading of Holy Spirit. We've got the written word, but we've got the Holy Spirit moving on our hearts and nudges for certain things. The Holy Spirit will guide us, and thus we will need to follow the promptings or inner guidance of the Holy Spirit. We already talked that God commonly communicates to us through our spirit, the inner man. This is also being a doer of the word. Our conscience, in essence, is really the voice of our spirit. We must be sensitive to the leading of our spirit. This is also being surrendered. Sometimes I tell someone, if you don't have peace, that's probably your spirit trying to get your attention, but your flesh is saying, yeah, I'd really like to do that. I really would. But your spirit said, no. And you feel that little, something don't seem quite right. I don't have quite peace. That's probably God telling you, don't go that way. But sometimes we go that way and again end up in the briar patch. But God didn't intend you to go that way. You Israelites, 40 years in the desert. You know, I didn't want you to go that way, but have it your way. You know, unbelief is leading you that way. You don't think I'm able to bring you in? And notice that. Notice what they said. Would we have not, after the 10 spies? The 10 spies said, yeah, we can't. There's giants in the land. Joshua and Caleb said, we can. God said we can. And the other 10 spies says, no, we can't. And Israelites, who do you believe? We believe these 10 spies here. And we proclaim, would we have not died in the wilderness or in Egypt? What are you speaking? Your words. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. You're speaking your unbelief. God says, have it your way. Your lack of faith is going to hinder my servants. Joshua and Caleb, they're going in. But your lack of faith is going to take 40 years for them to get in. But you won't. You can have the fruit of your words. It could have been an 11-day journey for you guys. But now we're going to have to take 40 years, and you're going to pass away in the wilderness as you proclaim from through your unbelief and your words, because there's life and death in the palm of the tongue, and your words are steering the destiny of your life like the rudder of the ship. Whatever you say, make sure it's promising and lining up with the promise of God. And remember, He's a good God. You speak negative, you're giving an open door to the devil to come in like these Israelites did. Yeah. Unbelief. Unbelief. They got the fruit of their words. Would we have not died in the wilderness? Okay. That's what you believe. That's what you got. And your words proclaimed your destiny. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus and the Word are one. Thus, we do what the Bible says. We must be sensitive to the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. And then next verse is Mark 16:15-20. And said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is for any Christian. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then the Lord has spoken unto them. He was received into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You're not the healer. You just do what God says. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He brings the result. You have nothing to do with that other than executing what He's asked you to do. Lay hands on the sick, and they recover. And there's people out there. You may be in Walmart. You may be in a grocery store. God wants you to pray for somebody with a problem here. Just as God, Holy Spirit moves, do it. Yeah. You are His ambassador. You belong to the King of Kings. You're special. You're an ambassador on assignment wherever you go 24/7. This world needs Jesus. And we need to act like the word is true, being doers of the word. That pertains to us. Amen. Matthew 7:21-23. Now I'm going to give you the other side of the coin in reference to some things to consider. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Whoa! Looking at that, that's a strong word. These people, look at that. They prophesied in the name of God. They've cast out devils. They've done wonderful works. And Jesus will say, I don't know you. A surrendered life does the will of the Father. That's a strong passage. You see, working of iniquity meant the practice of lawlessness. They must have been practicing lawlessness. And when you oppose the word, you're practicing lawlessness. They clearly were not in obedience to the Lord. Not even prophesying, casting out demons, or doing great things publicly could be viewed as evidence of salvation in this case. Now, if that person did not live a holy and dedicated life to God, that's worth considering. You don't fool God. He sees all. He knows if your heart is for Him or if you're playing cat and mouse games before people just to be seen and playing the act out like, hey, I'm a Mr. Good Guy. I'll show you this, but I do whatever I want away from the church. No, you don't fool God. 24/7. And if anybody's born in pornography, get out of it, because God sees it all anyway. Praise you, Jesus. Some key points. God's word must be given priority in our lives, given first place, the written word. And internally, as led by Holy Spirit. We must develop faith and trust. We must believe that he's a good God and only wants our best interest. Developing faith, we must hear the word of God. That means spending time reading the word and listening to good teaching, CDs, services, so forth. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Somebody wants to come up to the altar and ask for me to pray for them to have more faith. You got something to do. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want me to breed for more faith for you, but you don't want to do anything that the word tells you to do. You got a part to play, pal. Praise you, Jesus. Truth is absolutely imperative. Trust. Trust is absolutely imperative and key to a surrendered life. It's hard to surrender if you don't trust. And then the Lord says in the scripture, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. And I'm saying to you, believe he's a good God, because he is. There's nothing bad in God. Meditation in his word will also help us develop spiritual ears to his leading to a voice, taking promises of God. You're standing on a promise, but in order to get it in your spirit, you might need to spend some time muttering it, meditating on it, proclaiming it, speaking it. And let it get into your spirit. When you get it into your heart or your spirit, it takes effect, and you start proclaiming with your words. Spending time in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, my goodness. What guidance that is. But we have hustle and bustle of lies. So many things going on. We must take time to spend time in his presence. In his presence is the fullness of joy and peace. There have been testimonies of people who have left their bodies to visit heaven consistently remarking that they don't want to come back. When in the presence of Jesus, there's remarkable, indescribable love and peace. They don't want to leave. I remember a UN tour as a Navy lieutenant, my first UN tour, a tour overseas. I was with the UN for an observer duty in UNSO, United Nations Truth Supervision Organization. And at the unit where I was at, I was in Egypt, I was in Jordan, and I was living in Israel working in Lebanon at this time. And I just got assigned during this tenure of a year tour over to Israel. And I was living in Israel for about 8.5 months or so, working in southern Lebanon, part of this duty. And I remember when I got back from OP, observation post duty, doing my duties in Lebanon, I rented an apartment from some Romanian Jews. But I could not wait to, when I dropped things off to my apartment or when I was there waiting for OP duty, observation post duty, I would run to Nahariya Beach. And it was walking distance to my apartment. And I would spend times in the olive grove just spending time communing with God and praises. And I had some of the sweetest times I've ever had. So I still think about that. And I still, of course, want to seek God. But I just remember that instance at that time, that it was so sweet. You're away, you're deployed, and spending that time. You know, some of these guys would go to the bar because they had a bar and so forth. No, I don't want that. I want to spend time with the Lord out there in the olive grove, right by the beach, just some wonderful times. We must choose by an act of our will in reference to surrendering to God. We can pray and also ask God to help us. Believe me, we need help sometimes. God, change my heart. Help me, Lord. Help me in my soulless realm. Help me in this. I want to please you, Lord. Align with other believers who can encourage us in our decisions and walk. Ultimately, abide in Christ, abide in Christ, abide in Christ. Praise you, Jesus. Who's on the keyboard? Where's my brother there? Who's on the keyboard? We got somebody on the keyboard there. Daniel. Daniel from the lion's den. Did your parents, Christian family? Easy to see a name like Daniel. Good conclusion. Can you come up to keyboards for me or not? Or are you doing the computer for me? We can't do, you're doing both. Man, you got double duty. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Just some low Christian music in the back. And then I'm going to send you back to the, I'm still not finished back there. Just some low, praise you, Jesus. Yeah, just very low, quiet, low key. Praise you, Jesus. I just want to share as we come to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Do we have that there? Oh, no, we can't do that. Daniel's up here. You stay put. We're fine. I'll just say it. Romans 10, 9-10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and raised from the dead for your justification, you will be saved. With the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. Here we go again. With a tongue, confession is made unto salvation. Your words will steer your life. It's like the rudder of your ship. It will steer your life. Always affirm positively the word of God in your life, and don't allow circumstances or appearances to start getting you to mutter otherwise. The devil can use circumstances and appearances to get you to start talking. When he says, look and see. No, Mr. Devil. You go. I recognize you, spirit of fear. I'm not going to meditate on that. You be gone in the name of Jesus. You cast all your anxieties on the Lord. Give them all. 1 Peter 5:7. All your anxieties on the Lord. He can take care of it. He's up. You be at peace. He can take care of your battles because you've got a blood covenant with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thought. Covenant means something to God. He keeps his covenant. Oh, praise you, Jesus. But Romans 10:9-10 says, if you live in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for with me, please. As you bow your heads, I remark, I think about Abdul back in Juba, Sudan. I prayed with him, and Abdul, we prayed along Romans 10:9-10 guideline. And Abdul said, something happened. His father was a Muslim. And I said, Abdul, God just imparted eternal life to your spirit. He felt lightened, like something lifted. I remember Pastor Jerry LaSure, if I had enough time, when I did that testimony, Supernatural Testimonies book, I probably would have put Pastor Jerry in there. He's a pastor in Illinois. He was 36 years old at the time. I like to share this because it encourages people. He was in a room with his mother, who was elderly in her years, and she's getting ready to go in eternity. She's a strong believer, apparently. Jerry, all of a sudden, is allowed to see in the eye of the Spirit. He's looking in the spiritual realm, and he sees his mother's spirit lift from her body vividly, as if I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. But he vividly sees it. And he says, he saw his mother's face become radiant, youthful in appearance. His mother smiled at him, and then he saw Jesus lift her by the hand. Jesus turned his head, looked at Jerry, smiled, and took his mother into eternity. Oh, it's about reconciliation, folks. The prodigal son, he went away, he lived a righteous lifestyle. But he came to his senses when there was a famine in the land. He runs back, and his father, he thinks he might accept him as a hired servant. But his father runs to him, embraces him, proclaims, my son who was lost has now come home. He didn't condemn him. He reconciled. And that's what God does. He reconciles us. He's already paid the price. He holds it not against us if we come to him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. A lady with that caught in adultery. They brought her to Jesus. He stoops down, writes in the sand, stoops up and says, let him not sin, cast the first stone. One by one they leave. He says, where are your accusers? I accuse you not, sin no more, he says. He knew in a short while he'd be going to the cross, dying on the cross for her sins and making the bridge with the Father and mankind as the gap in bringing us back to the Father. He died on the cross for her sins. Because in Romans it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. All means all. So I'm going to ask you right now. Oh, I can't be more sincere right now. There's love in this house, and do not let pride hold you back. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the day. Now is the time. You're not promised tomorrow. I'll pray with you right now. There's no embarrassment here. There's only gladness. Raise your hand and I'll pray with you if you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just raise your hand. I'm giving it a moment here. Don't let pride hold you back. All right, then look at me this way. Look at me, please. I'm going to do it this way. If you know you die tonight, you go to heaven, can you raise your hand? Sir, are you good? I don't assume. I don't want anybody to leave here not knowing Jesus. That means everybody here has professed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I just don't want anybody leaving if you don't know Jesus. There's nothing more important. Absolutely nothing more important Praise you, Jesus. We can't be politically correct on this. I'm getting ready to close. But we can't be politically correct on this, folks. Because eternity is brutally frank. As God moves on your spirit to share the gospel, wherever he moves on your spirit to share, we need to heed. Eternity is forever. Can we put up the last slide? Daniel, I can't. I keep thinking you're there.
Dave's doing it.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the angelic help. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to look at that word today. If you don't remember anything else from this sermon today, remember that word. Remember that word. We're only here a short season. You're a soldier for Christ for a short season. Are you representing him well? Are you living for God with all your heart? Praise you, Jesus. Now, we got somebody back there now. Who? Is that Dave?
Uh-huh.
Dave, I'm not finished. Does Dave know where I Surrender All is?
Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to ask you, pray this. I want you to listen to a little clip that I made from a YouTube. Could you play that, Dave? I Surrender All. Pay attention to the screen, please, and look to your hearts. I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down forward and make this clear to your heart to God today and join an agreement here. Can you come to the altar? Come to the altar. Symbolic of coming to the altar of God. Everybody down here. Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each individual up here, including myself and Paulette back home. I pray, dear God, you help us to know even more so the hope of our calling, the inheritance that we have in you, and the power to work by the Holy Spirit through us. Continue to fill us the width, the depth, the height of your love. Help us to be the ambassadors you would have us to be to thee, dear God. And may we surrender to you, dear God, and follow your guidance and direction for our lives and honor you in all areas of our lives on a daily basis. I pray for this church, dear God. Bring in the people that need to be here. Bring in the people that need to be here, dear God, and bring in other co-laborers for the harvest that will work with Pastor Kevin, roll up their sleeves for the cause of the gospel. I pray a blessing over these people right now. I pray a blessing over this church. Let this church be a lighthouse, a beacon of light that intensifies to this region and beyond, serving your cause and purposes. May we walk clearly before you, dear God, with our whole hearts, and not part-time, but in reality, with committed lives unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we praise you for these things, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Pastor Kevin.